Fleischman G-Star, broadcast for the first time from Hollywood, California, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee.
My time is your time. Your time is my time.
Hi-ho, everybody. This is Rudy Vallee and Company, West Coast Company. It was our original intention to begin this broadcast with a burlesque version of a Hollywood movie opening, one of those world premieres. Since our arrival, however, all of us have been very much impressed by this remarkable place. So impressed that we don't at all feel like kidding. Hollywood, we have found, is a town where a great many hardworking people do a great deal of serious work in a notably expert fashion. That's the side you don't read about in the headlines, the real Hollywood. So I shall begin our coast series in a businesslike fashion by telling you that we have with us tonight
Mr. Jimmy Cagney,
Warner Brothers star in a one-act play by a well-known picture director, E. Richard Shire. The title, Private Jones.
Charles Chick Sale.
Chick, who is working currently for Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures, offers a comedy sketch called Where Was Elmer?
Miss Florence Desmond,
a charming English actress now featured in Fox releases. Her acid-tipped caricatures of screen personalities will give you an inside glimpse of the Hollywood you do not read about.
Miss June Knight,
star of Take a Chance on the Stage and on the Screen, presented tonight by arrangement of Universal Pictures. Our cast is completed by Attention Joe Cook, Four Hawaiian. About these boys more later. As they say on the lot, gentlemen, roll them. This is a take. Ready sound, ready camera, find them.
Come, love, the moon lingers above. Don't waste this night, dear. Give me your love. My arms about you.
Heard about Hollywood parties, I'm sure. We have with us tonight an authority on this interesting folk custom, Miss Florence Desmond. While she was still in England, Miss Desmond made a recording of her screen impersonations. I heard it about a year ago and determined then that you would hear Miss Desmond at the first opportunity. During several months out here on the coast, she has made two pictures and added considerably to her gallery of star portraits. The result, you will hear at once. This is Florence Desmond.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Rudy. I want to give you my idea of a party given by, or let us suppose, Janet Gaynor. The occasion, we'll suppose again, is her birthday, and I want you to imagine that you're there with me, meeting all her friends, your favorite film stars. I'll introduce you to Janet Gaynor, and she'll tell you all about it herself.
Hello, everybody. I'm giving a little party tonight. I've never given a party like this before. I have all kinds of celebrities coming along. Greta Garbo, Tallulah Bankhead, Jimmy Durante, and a whole lot of other people. Well, I guess I'm all set. I'm a dreamer. Just a dreamer, aren't we all? Why, here they are now. Oh, Zazel Pitt, why, I never thought you'd come along.
Sam, you're the only person who'd ever get me to go to a party. I suppose I have to wish you many happy returns of the day. Though why anybody wants to go on living these days, I can't imagine, I can't really. Oh, my.
night, everybody. Here's Greta Garbo.
Oh, dearie, won't you wait? I didn't see you at first. You are so, so little. Will you please take my Macintosh? I'm afraid it is very wet. I have been fishing with Clark Gable. Oh, I hope you don't mind. I have brought my own supper. You see, I only like my own cooking. Oh, Janet, will little Kumanavira can be by my city? No, don't interrupt your shoot when it won't please. I just want to be alone. Oh, do you remember those lines I spoke to John Barrymore in Grand Hotel when I said, Fritz, we'll go away to my villa and I can live there for 6 weeks and we can laugh and be happy and I can live like an ordinary woman. Oh, that's what I want to do, but I can't. Oh, I'm so tired. I think I go home.
Oh, don't go yet, Greta. I've just seen Tallulah Bankhead coming in.
Oh, Janet, darling. Oh, bless you. You look too marvelous for words. I can't bear it. Oh, what a divine house. And it's so sweet of you to ask me how, really.
Oh, Tallulah, I want to introduce you to Greta Garbo.
Oh, I've been dying to know her. Where is she? What is she doing here? I thought she never went to parties. Or did she know I was coming? Oh, well.
Greta, and this is Tallulah Bankhead.
How do you do?
Oh, I'm delighted to meet you. I'm crazy about your pictures. In fact, I'm an absolute fan of yours.
Oh, you're very kind. But who are you? Are you an actress?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Marlene Dietrich, won't you come in?
I have called to wish you a happy birthday. I'm afraid I can't stay very long. I have to be up at dawn to be sharp. No, not another sky picture. Just a studio. Von Sternberg does not like me going to parties. When I tell him the truth, he doesn't believe me. And when I tell him a lie, he does. So like a man. Goodbye, Janet.
Oh, why, here comes Mae West.
Hello, honey. I've just looked in on your party. Just to give it a little tone. Oh, Tallulah. Why don't you come up and see me sometime? Hello, Greta. Are you still going for a tramp in the woods?
Oh, May, you certainly look swell. And goodness, what diamonds.
Goodness had nothing to do with it, silly. But, Donald, what kind of a party is this? Ain't she got any men around here? Oh, I guess I'm just wasting my time. So long, sweetheart. I'll be in jail. How am I doing, boy?
Say, who was that dame that went out just then? Just tell me who was that dame. What do you think she said to me? Jimmy, you couldn't be had. I'm mortified. Mortified.
Oh, Jimmy, I want to introduce you to Greta Garbo.
Okay. Okay, I'll meet her. But don't expect me to marry her. I don't want to lose my identity.
Oh, Greta, this is Schnazel, Jimmy Durante.
How do you do?
What a greeting! What a greeting! Maybe she don't think I'm good looking. But what's Gargoyle's opinion against thousands of others? Me. Me with more profile than all the Barrymores put together. And does the nose go? So the nose show. What the nose pose as the nose grows. And when the nose knows, then the nose knows. It's mutiny, folks. That's what it is. Mutiny.
Our old custom of repeating a tune we brought to your listening ears a fortnight previously. We repeat, a tune from the new Ziegfeld Follies, Suddenly. Happened to me, suddenly a thrill went through me, suddenly that something drew me into your arms, suddenly the strangest feeling, suddenly the room went reeling, suddenly the floor and ceiling fell for your charms. I don't remember the time of day, or if we spoke of the weather. The hurdy-gurdies began to play, zwei heads and get together. Suddenly, with no pretending, suddenly our lips were blending. Suddenly the happy ending happened to come true. Couriers sent on ahead of this program under sealed orders were instructed to find and ensnare for us the finest novelty musical ensemble on the coast. Result, the Hollywood Hawaiians. Their leader, Saul Hupi'i, came to Hollywood from Honolulu in the silent picture days and made a name for himself playing emotional mood music for the old-time stars. Saul played sad songs and the stars wept real tears. Since the advent of sound, Hupi'i has directed atmosphere music for almost every South Sea picture, including the recent Bird of Paradise. He's the one who plays the steel guitar. You'll be able to pick him out. The Hollywood Hawaiians.
Oh, yeah, because
Have chosen Tommy Tommy, an old Hawaiian expression meaning some fun, eh, kid?
Drama with a large and neatly obvious moral to help us tell you about Fleischmann's yeast. The scene? A party. Not a Hollywood party, just a hometown party. More exact.
Perhaps the loveliest of all poignant ballads of unrequited love set to music. Sorcelli's Serenade. Or Rimpianto. Golden dream upon my heart given. Remains the memory of a love alas that lives no more. Ah, that was the vision.
Will soon pass away. Lamenting remains alone. Yes, my tears and the bitter grief of a heart. sua visión. Qual dolce sorriso, che più lieta fa, col subirà la nostra gioventù. Ma pur molto breve in me, la dolcezza di quel ben suanì. Quel sogno t'ho lasciato in me il dolore. Oh, l'avvenir sempre più triste di la gioventù passata sarà. Rimpianto mi resta sol. Sì, rimpianto m'arduol nel cor. O raggio di sole, sul mio cammino a me non brilla.
Listening to the Fleischmann's Yeast Hour, broadcast tonight from Hollywood, California. Rudy Vallee presents Florence Desmond, the Hollywood Hawaiians, June Knight, Chick Sale, and Jimmy Cagney.
You and I have admired his sharp, vital characterizations in a series of Warner Brothers pictures. From Public Enemy to The Mayor of Hell and Footlight Parade. It is my privilege to meet him in person for the first time this week out on the Warner lot in Burbank, where he is making Air Chaser. I want you to meet him now, ladies and gentlemen, the little man with the big punch, Jimmy Cagney.
Thank you, Rudy. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to do for you tonight a short play by one of Hollywood's leading directors, Richard Scheer. The members of the cast, besides myself, Frank Nelson, Joseph Franz, and Ferdinand Schumann Hanks, son of the famous singer. The title of the play, Private Jones.
Jimmy Cagney as Private Jones. Time... 1918. Scene, a German dugout somewhere in France. A dimly lit cave-like shelter reinforced with rough beams and sheet tin. At the rear, wooden steps lead to a front-line trench. In the center of the dugout is a rude table. At the table sits Major von Stoke, a Prussian infantry officer. A younger man, Lieutenant von Bergen, stands at his side. A German private soldier guards the entrance to the dugout. Facing the two German officers are two American prisoners. One is obviously an officer. The other is very obviously a buck private.
Offizier, zuerst.
To Befehl, Major. Lieutenant, will you step forward, please? Your name, rank, and organization.
Regiment H. Gregg. First Lieutenant, 196th Infantry.
Er heißt Benjamin H. Gregg, Oberleutnant 196. Infanterieregiment.
Fragen Sie, wie viele Mannschaften und Kanonen?
As the major's compliments, Lieutenant. He wishes to know the strength of your forces holding the sector.
Convey my compliments to the major and tell him he can go to the devil.
Herr Major, er will nicht sagen, aber schickt seine besten Grüße und der Herr Major möchte zum Teufel gehen.
Himmelkreuz, Donnerwetter! Bring den anderen her.
You, step forward.
Oh, me?
I said you. Step forward.
Okay, darling. Keep your shirt on.
Name and organization.
Bill Jones, private, 196th Infantry. I got a cousin in Milwaukee named Schmaltz. Friend of yours, maybe?
Silence. Herr Major. Herr Heist Wilhelm Jones, Gemeiner Soldat, 196th Infantry Regiment.
Wagen Kerlaus.
How many men in your sector, Jones?
Don't kid me, Schmaltz. Even Pershing don't know.
You seem pleased to be a prisoner.
Pleased? Schmaltz, the old boy, you said it. I'm saying to myself, Jonesy, you're one lucky kid. You fell in the latrine, you come up with 6 months leaving a handful of diamonds. No, sir, no more war for me. Penny LaGuerre, Schmaltzy, baby. I'll tell this cockeyed world I'm pleased.
Was sagt der Kerl?
Ich kann den Kerl überhaupt nicht verstehen.
Warum denn nicht? Ich dachte, Sie verstehen Englisch, Dummkopf.
Ich verstehe, son, aber nicht dein Englisch. Lieutenant, the Major's ragging me for not understanding your man. I learned English at Oxford, but what is this language he speaks?
American.
So? You will please make yourself more intelligible.
Says which?
Answer my questions plainly, or you may not find it so pleasant to be a prisoner.
What's fight this guy, Lute? Have I got to talk baby talk to this boy?
You heard what I told him, Jones. It's up to you. If you want a soft job back at the lines for the rest of the war, tell him all he wants to know. It's your kind of a chance. Hop to it.
Yes. Okay, Hindenburg, what's on your mind?
State what you know of the disposition of the American troops in this sector.
Well, the 196 is composed of 18 million cooties, a couple of thousand flat-headed lieutenants, 7,000 non-coms, and one buck private. That's me. We got 418 machine guns, 68 million cans of corn, Willie.
Yep.
Herr Major, eine Depesche.
Yep, so Herr Lieutenant.
Befehl zum Angriff, Herr Major.
Ja, bereit zum Angriff in 10 Minuten.
Auf eure Posten!
Lieutenant, you're lucky to be here. That message was a command to attack your positions in full force. Make yourself at home. The guard here will keep you company. I regret that we are entirely out of wine.
There's a jug of burgundy in my dugout across the field. Try and get it.
Thanks, I shall. Auf Wiedersehen.
So long, Schmaus. Don't catch cold out there. Well, Lute. There ain't much difference between us now.
There'll always be a lot of difference between us, Jones.
Oh, yeah? What difference? I'm as good a man as you any day outside of this funny army of yours. Yeah, better. I can wiggle my ears. Look.
Cut it, Jones. I don't want to talk to you. You've been a bad smell in my platoon for nearly a year. You're no soldier and you never could be. Under the circumstances, I can't exert any authority over you. But I don't have to listen to you shoot off your mouth, and I won't.
Says you. Who's going to stop me, you?
Yes, me, if I have to.
Is that so? Say, listen, Peanut. Don't get new with me or I'll tear the middle bars over your collar and make you eat them.
Now, pipe down, Jones. Pipe down.
Not say you and all your kind. Bad soldier, am I? Well, who wanted to be a soldier? Just because you white-collar guys with a bunch of grafters kidding into this battle business, I get yanked out of my good job and stuck into a tin hat and told to go out and crack a lot of poor heinies that never did nothing to me. Make the world safe for democracy. Nuts! I'm a Republican!
You're pure gold, Jones. Pure gold. Yellow to the heart.
Why, you dirty little shaved tailor.
I'll smoke.
Okay, Innenburg. But he's got it coming to him. Hey, what are you going to do now? Ride home for winter underwear?
No, I'm letting the wife and kiddies know what happened to me.
Wife? Kids? You? I didn't think you had it in you.
Never mind that now. If you've got anybody to write to, you better do it now. They probably won't let you write from prison camp.
Yeah, not me. My old lady died when he drafted me. And my girl went and married a munitions maker.
I didn't know that, Jones. I'm sorry.
Sorry, my eye. You ain't done nothing but ride me since I hit Camp Devon. How should I know about soldiering? You come along with your bean full of squads right and squads left and stop jumping down my throat the first day. Well, I'm through with it now, see? You got the last salute you'll ever get out of me, General Grant. You get me?
Listen, that's the signal for the raid. No artillery preparation. That means it's a surprise attack. Oh, if we could only let the gang know they're coming.
There you go. Looking for more trouble.
Jones, keep your eye on that Heinrich. He may know English. Is he listening?
Nah, he's back with the home folks drinking beer.
Okay, listen. Over here behind this table, I just spotted a lot of flare bombs. If we can take care of this Heine quietly, we can get one of those flares into the air and show up the whole parade. Stand by to help me nail this bird.
And bring a pack of them Dutchies down on me from the trench? Not me. I tell you, I'm out of this war. I'm a quiet, decent, non-combatant prisoner. That's me. And I ain't committing no suicide just when I'm about to be sent back to a nice little prison camp. No, ma'am.
Oh, what a big yellow hound you are, Jones. All right, curl up in your kennel over there. I'll handle it alone.
You're just one of them saps that don't know when to lie down.
Hi there, you. A guard. Match? Haven't she match?
Yeah. Out like a light. Say, Luke, you ain't so bad. Right on the old button.
Quick, get his rifle. Watch that door and use the bayonet if anyone comes down. I'll get the flare ready.
Oh, why didn't I get took prisoner with a general? I'd have been safe then.
Here's the flare. Got a match? Quick.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, Schmaltz hears about this. Here you are.
Look out! Here she blows!
Oh, boy, look at that light. Now we're in trick.
We did it. Listen. The gang's on board. Listen to him. Oh, and listen to him.
Yeah, I hear him. We'll have the Kaiser and his whole doggone army on in the next 2 minutes.
Attaboy. Attaboy, gang. Attaboy.
Yeah, attaboy, gang. Had a good old boy on time in there. Now they're shooting at us.
Jeff, they're coming over there.
Yeah, good old gang.
You'll drift down here in a minute.
Got it. It's here now.
Yeah. Look, you good old schmuck left his match right down the table. I'll match it for it, Luke.
Don't let me stop you, Jones. Go ahead. Put it on.
Hey, wait. The fella you knocked out, maybe he's got a match. Wait, amble him over.
It's no use, yes. I thought of that. There's only one match, Jones. Put it on. Be quick about it.
Okay. It's your funeral, Luke. Here goes.
There's one thing you can do for me, Jones. If you pull through, get this letter mailed. The wife and kids.
Say, I forgot about that. Say.
Put on that mask, you fool. Put it on.
Lieutenant, sir, is that a command?
Private Jones, put on that mask.
Lieutenant, sir, nuts to you. Right on a lug. Out like a light. Ludo, boy, here's hoping this thing fits you. Up with your head. Atta boy, now. Over your ears and under your chin. There you are. It fits swell. Now breathe deep, Luke. Now, you get the mask, and I get the glory. Who's the best man now? Who's the best man now? So long, Luke. Sleep tight.
Where's my will? Why?
mounting higher. When I look at you, I can't keep still. You're my thrill.
Not judging from the title of the picture in which it appears, and most certainly not judging from the music, as I studied the plain black and white sheet copy, would I have ever thought that this song contained such a beautiful and exotic quality in its harmonic construction. Jay Gorney has conceived the most unusual harmonic composition to which lyrics have been fitted most perfectly by Sidney Clare. From the Fox picture Jimmy and Sally comes this song reminiscent of Deep Night, You're My Thrill.
Nothing seems to matter. Here's my heart on a silver platter. Where's my will? Why this strange desire that keeps mounting higher? When I look at you, I can't keep still.
One of the nice things about coming out to Hollywood is the fact that out here you meet all your New York friends. For instance, the other day I ran into June Knight. June is a California girl who made good on the stage in the big town back east, and then came out to the coast again for movie gold. Although most of the pictures in which June has been featured are musicals, she is now playing a straight dramatic lead role in Universal's Cross Country Cruise. Miss June Knight.
Should I be the peppy type, or should I be a sweet thing? Should I deal in sex appeal or shy? If I seek to charm, will I have lure enough? If I'm full of pep, will I seem sure enough? Sure enough. If I am sweet, you may turn up your noses. If I am hot, you may think I know more than a maid should know. I give you art, and let's suppose you like it. I'm in your heart, and spoil it all. Da 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 da. So I repeat, should I sing sweetly? La 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 la.
June Knight continues with another Take a Chance tune, New Deal Rhythm.
New Deal Rhythm, get up, get into it, put all your what Satan's been to it, say. Get into the new steel rhythm. Hear how they're yelling it from coast to coast, they're spelling it. And all right, here is the leader man, leading the grand band. Here in the grand band, moonlight, moonlight. Get into the new steel rhythm. Down on the barns is drumming it. Those factory wheels are humming it. 1 million feet are drumming it now. New deal rhythm. Put all your seed and spin to it, say. Get into the new deal rhythm. From coast to coast they're yelling it. And all right, follow the leader man, leading the grand band. Here in the grand band.
To tell you last week the reason for our sudden exodus to the coast. The reason? A film version of George White's Scandals in which yours truly has a part. More on that subject next week. It was impossible for me to take more than two of the Connecticut Yankees West with us. Through the friendly gesture of Harry Jackson, who has permitted us to use his very fine group of young California musicians, we are able to carry on musically. I have asked Harry to direct one of his own arrangements, Blue Skies Medley. Their places on this program in a few weeks when we will again broadcast from the East. presenting the most human of comedians, the most earthy, I guess would be a good way to put it, Chick Sale. Chick brings with him tonight a member of his collection of American tintypes, perhaps better known to his stage audiences than to his screen followers. It's Eagle-Eyed Elmer, the crossing watchman. Old Eagle Eye is the principal character in a comedy sketch called Where Was Elmer? The scene, a court of law. An accident case is under discussion as the curtain rises.
Order, gentlemen, order.
Your Honor, I contend this is strictly a point of view.
Your Honor, I object to that statement.
Again, I must warn the attorney for the plaintiff, as well as the attorney for the Eastern Pacific Railroad, that they must not wander from the main issues of this case. The case is simple. The plaintiff, Walter Craig, was injured and his automobile demolished by the Los Angeles Express at Watts Crossing on midnight of June 1st.
Your Honor, the Eastern Pacific contends it was not at fault in this case. I would like to call a witness, Elmer Jones, gate tender and flagman at the crossing.
All Elmer Jones to the stand.
Is Elmer Jones present?
Here I am, court here!
Mr. Jones, you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self-God?
I object.
I'll do all the objecting, Mr. Jones.
Why, you said at your house, if anything I didn't like, I could object to, and I object to that.
Take off your hat.
Go.
Sit down.
Down.
What is your full name, Mr. Jones?
Elmer Higginbottom Jones. Hey, Higginbottom's, that's my uncle who was supposed to die and leave me money, but he never did. See, he worked right, went right on through this depression. He lost all his money, and I've sort of lost interest in him.
Answer briefly and concisely.
How long have you worked as a flagman for the Eastern Pacific Railroad?
Well, now, let me see. That's going to take some close figuring. Let's see, mother was operated on appendicitis. Then it was 2 years I worked there to them. Then the Goodhart boys, they had trouble with their mother. You see, she's just a little bit of a woman. She don't weigh over 85 pounds. She worked right out in the field with them boys. Then she got rheumatism. She couldn't work anymore, and she took to laying around the house, gulping down 4 or 5 eggs at a meal. And Willie Goodhart, that's the brightest one of them 16 boys, he just could see how things was going on, and he says he just took her out in the field one day, and he shot her.
Order!
Answer my question.
6 years.
Where were you on the night of June 1st at 12 o'clock midnight?
Right where you said I ought to have been in my post 10, the railroad crossing.
I must warn the witness that where possible, he should answer questions by yes or no.
No.
No what?
You know, I forgot what we was talking about.
Now then, Mr. Jones, the Los Angeles Express, number 94, was due to stop at Watts at 12 o'clock midnight, was it not?
Well, hadn't been doing it the last few nights.
Why not?
Well, the engineer ain't on speaking terms with station agents. The engineer just got married, and the station agent knowed his wife before she was married, and he knowed a lot of things he could tell on her, and he'd have told him to.
Never mind the scandal. Stick to the question.
Oh, I can't get a word in here, Edgeway.
Now then, just before the train came in due, did you see an automobile approaching the crossing?
Yeah, I saw it a block away, coming swishity-bang, lickety-split, looking for trouble and knowing just where to find it.
Was that automobile coming fast?
It was going so fast, I says to myself, that is a nice car, wasn't it?
But you started to swing your lantern to warn them, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I just kept swinging my lantern. I could hear old 94 coming down the back of me, and I could see the automobile tearing down the road towards the railroad crossing, and I tried to warn them. I kept waving my lantern, paid no attention, just kept racing right along.
Oh, I see. So they were racing the train.
Yeah.
Who won?
It was a tie.
How many times did you swing your lantern to warn them, Mr. Jones?
Well, 24 times, rheumatism and all.
Oh, you twirled your lantern 24 times in the dark.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's all, Your Honor. I now turn the witness over to the plaintiff's attorney, a man with a very ingratiating personality.
What's the matter with him?
I say he has a very ingratiating personality.
No, don't he don't look well.
Now, Mr. Flagman.
Hey, look out there. Call your shot.
This accident occurred at midnight. Did you leave your post at all during the night?
Well, about 9 o'clock, things got kind of dull around my place, so I went over to Henry Hull's grocery store. You see, Henry Hull's one of the best tiddlywink fairs in town. And when I got over there, his cousin, she was took down pretty bad to the mumps, and I never had
a mother mind but tiddlywinks and the mumps. Were you at your post on the night of June 1st? from 11 o'clock until after the accident.
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no? What kind of an answer is that? Why, your stupidity is absolutely incomprehensible, sir.
Yeah, so's your Aunt Tilly.
Order! If I hear any more laughter, I'll clear the courtroom.
Mr. Jones, it was a very dark night, and you said you saw the automobile coming a block away. Do you see that well in the dark?
Do I see well in the dark?
Say, 4 months before I was born, my mother was frightened by an owl.
By an owl?
Yes, sir, and I got bulging eyes. They just kind of pierced the darkness. And I would say, I'd just like to have you take a look at them bulging eyes.
I don't care to look at your bulging eyes.
All right, then I won't bulge them.
Just how far can you see on a dark night?
On a good dark night?
Yes.
A pitch dark night?
Yes.
Oh, I can see, more than 1,000 miles.
Longer. It's absurd, preposterous, the idea of a witness sworn to tell the truth, making such an impossible statement that he can see 1,000 miles.
Well, I can.
How can you?
I can see the moon. I caught him on an old one.
Now, Mr. Jones, isn't it true? Isn't it quite true that when the automobile came down the road, the people in the unfortunate car were tooting the horn loudly?
No, they wasn't doing any tooting at all.
Why weren't they tooting their horn?
Well, it was just a cheap car. Didn't have anything to toot about.
Don't try to tell any jokes in here or I lose my temper.
Well, I'm liable to flare up myself.
Your Honor, how can I go on with this case when the witness acts in this extraordinary manner?
Get down to the main facts of the case.
Now, Mr. Jones, you have sworn to tell the truth. Do you still maintain that when the automobile was coming down the road towards the crossing in the pitch dark, you twirled your lantern 24 times in the dark?
Yes, sir, 24 times in the dark.
How do you know you twirled that lantern exactly 24 times?
I counted them.
Why?
Just figured some dang fool had asked me that question.
That's all. Your Honor, we rest the case.
In view of the evidence presented by the witness, Mr. Jones, this court denies the plea of the plaintiff, Mr. Craig, and renders the decision in favor of the defendant, the Eastern Pacific Railroad Company. Court dismissed.
Oh, Mr. Jones.
Yeah?
As attorney for the railroad company, I want to congratulate you. You know, you won that case practically single-handed.
Oh, no, I didn't either.
Oh, yes, you did. You convinced that judge that you warned those people by swinging that lantern 24 times in the dark.
Yeah, but I tell you, I was mighty nervous there for a while.
You were?
Why? I was afraid that dang lawyer would ask me if the lantern was lit.
Another song from the new Ziegfeld Follies, What Is There to Say? But are you an optical illusion? And if not, then what on earth are you doing to me? If my speech is willy-nilly, it's because I cannot gild a lily. I should love to sing your praises, but phrases and words are silly. What is there to say? And what is there to do? The dream I've been seeking has practically speaking come true. What is there to say? And how will I pull through?
find you in a moment, contentment and home and just you. You are so lovable, so livable. Your beauty is just unforgivable. You're made to marvel at and words to that effect. So, what is there to say and what is there to do? My heart's in a deadlock, I'd even face wedlock with you.
Next week, another Fleischman Hour from Hollywood with another screen star heading our cast. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night.
The music Shanghai Lil is from the motion picture Footlight Parade and Rise and Shine from the picture Take a Chance. Your announcer is Frederick Shields. This is the National Broadcasting Company.